Well, I appreciate that so much. Enjoyed the singing as well as the scripture reading and the worship together. And we are especially happy to have visitors visiting with us. We're glad you're here. Want to invite you and encourage you to be back with us each and every time. And of course, if there's anything that you may not understand or you have questions about, please let one of us know, because we'd be glad to be able to share with you the information that we have learned from the scripture and have laid a hold of and practice in our faith and doctrine. This morning we're going to talk about faith, and that being an inseparable faith. If you look at verse 17 in the reading that Wyatt read, it is clear that we have a message that faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. God never designed faith to rest by itself. In fact, faith is formed upon the foundation that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And it's by that faith that you and I have opportunity to live. And that's an inseparable faith. And we're going to explore that a bit more as we study this morning. But I want to point out that as we've been considering weddings, last Sunday afternoon we had a wedding here at the building. We were talking about marriage for quite a while in our Wednesday evening class. And one of the most profound verses that we have is in Mark chapter 10 and verse 9. And you often hear it during weddings because it is such a profound and important verse. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate. Faith is something from God. He has provided for you and I to be able to build upon the foundation of Christ with a spiritual faith that rests within our hearts. And just like marriage is designed to be inseparable, so also is faith. Now, here is nature. And I wanted to say thank you, Brother King, for allowing me to use your photos. We've already seen a few, if you notice the birds already, some fabulous work and beautiful photos. And if you don't believe in God, just go look at nature, because God's revealed. God has made nature. And a lot of things in that nature are clearly seen as being inseparable. Whether it be Missy picking up a goat, or two birds sharing a meal, you can see God at work. And what does that do for us? Well, it reveals to us the inseparable aspect of His creation. And as inseparable as that is also faith. But it's amazing in creation how things become connected. Who would ever thought that a goat and a horse would ever get along? And not only that, that a goat helps a nervous horse. Now, I think when I think about horses, the only thing nervous was me when I got on one. I never thought about the horse being nervous, but I would wish that some of those horses I got on would have some goats around, let me tell you. Maybe it'd calm both of our nerves. But God has created an amazing creation. And in nature, there are a lot of things that are inseparable, and we accept that without question. But when it comes to faith, that gets to be another thing. People do not consider that it's something that's inseparable. And what God has joined together, let not man separate. If you look at verse 17, clearly, note what he says. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. That's the King James. When you go to the New King James, it uses the term faith by itself. If it does not have works, is dead. Then when you go to James chapter 2, verse 17 in the NIV, if you happen to have that, in the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. So clearly, as you look at this passage, just this one, it's evident that faith is not designed to be by itself. Faith is not designed to be alone. In other words, it's inseparable. One cannot be without the other. And he goes on, as Wyatt read, someone will say, you have faith. In verse 18, I have works. Show me your faith. Without your works, I will show you my faith by my works. Works are evidence of the faith, a belief that a person has. Verse 20, but do you want to know, a foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Clearly, the question rings. It's inseparable faith. Faith and works go together. But Satan has a plan. He wants your faith isolated. He wants it alone. And he, if he is successful causing you to isolate it, he doesn't care if you have it or not. How do we know that? Look at verse 19. You believe there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? You know, a lot of folks, if you were to go over to Walmart this afternoon and ask them, do you believe in God? They'd go, yeah, I sure do. But the question is what is it doing for their lives? What's being produced by that faith? Has it become a separated faith being alone because it doesn't produce the deeds or the works that follow as required by the commandments of God? If so, Satan has been successful. And that has happened a lot in our world. He wants people to be dead in works and have that isolated faith. But I want you to zero in with me to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. If you have your Bibles, you might want to turn to Hebrews 11. There is a definition that we need to know this morning if we don't have it already memorized. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So you see how important this word faith is? The American Standard Version, I like the translation there in Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is assurance of things hoped for, a conviction of things not seen. Faith is that which provides for us, that which will allow us to be motivated to do what our God wants us to do. And as you look at the definition in the original language, it is a word which means belief. In fact, they're very kin. Belief, trust, and confidence, assurance. What one is fully persuaded of. What one believes in. And that word believe is the same root word, so they're inseparable. Faith is that which provides us assurance and conviction as well as evidence. And faith has a foundation. You remember when Thomas came in and he said, I want to see. I want to see those nail prints. I want to see where the sword pierced the side of Jesus. And Jesus would follow that by saying, Thomas, because you've seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. That's faith. But that's not a faith that's without foundation. In fact, it's built upon a great foundation, that being Christ himself. But it's not without foundation. Verse 30. And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But then look at verse 31. But these things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Now that excites me. Why? Because faith is evidence of things not seen. And that is not blind faith. We have written what is essential for giving us the basis and the foundation for faith. When you look at the science revealed in this Bible, the Bible revealed it long before the science recognized it. How so? Because God gave us this book. Over and over and over, the evidence of God, his existence, and Jesus being his son is revealed in this book. And that evidence is overwhelming. God doesn't say, just believe and take a walk. There's evidence or foundation for that belief. If someone said our belief in God is not blind faith, faith is having a firm conviction something is true, not just hoping it's true. We're not walking blind. We're walking by faith. And the book of Hebrews speaks of Jesus, and then looking unto Jesus. That's what we do by faith. Jesus became the author of salvation for us, and therefore we follow the pathway that He laid out with our eyes fixed upon Him. That's not walking blindly. He laid the path out. What we do is we walk in faith to show Him that we believe that He is the Christ, the Son of God. But some folks just go, well, yeah, I believe God exists. I even believe that Jesus Christ is His Son. But then that's all it is. It doesn't produce the action. Why? Because the conviction is not placed in motion. Clearly, James 2 verse 14, what does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? The answer is faith alone is just that. And faith was never designed to be isolated and alone, because faith without works is dead. If you look at verse 26, notice what he says there. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works. It's designed to be inseparable. It's designed to go with deeds. And that is important, because if, as verse 17 says, if it does not have works, it's dead. And something dead has no more usefulness. And that's the very concept that's spoken of here. And he's talking about that brother or sister being destitute of daily food. And someone says, well, go in peace, be warmed and filled. Well, that's not a good solution, isn't it? It must be followed up by deeds. And he asks the very question, what does that profit? It doesn't. When faith is dead alone, it profits nothing. Therefore, it's inseparable to those deeds and works. But there's another aspect, as you can see from this slide. Faith is inseparable from hope and love. One of the most beautiful verses in all Scripture is contained in 1 Corinthians 13. He talks about and defines love, and then in verse 13, he says, now abides. Faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. Do you see the progression? Faith, hope, and love. They're inseparable in this life. Now one day, there'll be no more need for faith. One day, there'll be no more need for hope, because it will all be fulfilled in an eternity. But there's something that will remain. That's love, of course. The love of God exists eternally. And it's interesting, as you look at the passage in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13, the term that's translated abide is an interesting term. Probably some of you have had some folks that maybe were kinfolk. Maybe they were relatives of someone that you knew. Or maybe they were just good friends, and they call you up and they say, hey, we're in your town today and we're going to come and see you. And they pull in the driveway, they get out, and they bring their suitcases. Do you know what they're planning to do? I got some folks grinning because you've been there and done this, haven't you? And you're hospital folks, and I know Christians are hospital people. Not in the hospital, but hospitable. And you know what they're going to do? They're planning to stay. They're brought their suitcases. They're going to be with you a while. Well, the word abide here literally means to tarry as a guest or to lodge, not to depart, not to leave, to continue to be present. And that is significant, because what he's saying there is faith, hope, and love make themselves at home. And of course they should. They're inseparable in this life for a Christian. They go together. They were never designed to be isolated. They were designed to be a package. And they come in with suitcases and they need to be living in the life of a Christian. And it's such a wonderful thing to think about how these are such and so related. Because what would hope be without faith? What would faith be without hope? And what would they all be without love? Well, Paul answered that question in 1 Corinthians 13, 1 and 2, particularly verse 2 in reference to faith. He says, though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I'm nothing. You see, faith and love is inseparable. It is designed by the Almighty God to go together. In fact, in Hebrews 11, verse 6, if you're still in Hebrews 11, we read these words, "But without faith, it is impossible to please Him." And He's not talking about a faith alone. He's talking about a faith that's inseparable from the things that God designed spiritually for us. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and notice the rest of the verse, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. As Hebrews 6 verse 19 states so clearly, hope we have is an anchor for the soul. And those of you that have been in the Navy, those of you that have boats that have anchors, you understand the principle of the anchor. It's that which secures us. And it's designed so that we believe that God is, but even more importantly, we believe that God is going to give us a reward. And that's hope. A faith that believes that God loved us so much that He did send His Son to die for us so that we could grab a hold of the hope that's laid up before us. Hope for eternity in heaven. That should cause us to want to live in the right direction, doing what God wants us to do. But there's another thing that I want to share with you this morning before we conclude that we must remember. Faith is inseparable, just as it is from works and deeds, just as it is from hope and love. Faith is inseparable from prayer. You might be thinking, well, Rick, that makes sense. I know that. But think about it. Jesus said, "Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray," you see the next word? "Whatever things you ask when you pray, comma," that's the only thing that separates these two words, a comma. "Whatever things you ask when you pray, comma, believe that you will receive them and you will have them," Jesus tells His disciples. Now, what does it take to believe that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him? It's a conviction of the evidence. The faith that trusts. When we pray, we need the faith to trust the Almighty God that it will be His will. We need to pray believing that God hears us, that He answers prayer. And understanding that that faith is inseparable from prayer. James 5:16, one of my favorite verses. "Confess your trespasses one to another. Pray one for another that you may be healed." That's important in our lives, isn't it? And note what he follows that with. "The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." That's given to Christians. That's something we can build upon as a foundation because of the faith that we possess. The faith in a God that is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. A faith that has the promise that the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man is effective. It avails much. When you turn to Acts chapter 14, read about Paul and Barnabas. When they had preached the gospel to that city and they had made many disciples, Scripture says they returned to Lystra, Iconium, Antioch. And they were doing something. Verse 22, they were strengthening the souls of the disciples. And notice what they were doing in the process. Exhorting them to continue in the faith. Of course, we know that's talking about the system of teaching and doctrine that we have recorded right here. But this system is dependent upon you and I having the faith to believe that God is and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. A faith that can believe His promises that He has given us within the book. A faith to believe that God expects for us to do what He wants us to do. And we're willing to do so because of our faith to believe that Jesus died for us. Then verse 23 of Acts 14 goes on. So when they had appointed elders in every church and prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed. Do you see the connection? They prayed. What would prayer be without belief? What would it mean if it was separated and isolated? Wouldn't mean a whole lot, would it? Because God didn't design prayer to be separated from faith. It's inseparable. We pray because we believe. And we trust God to hear our prayers. We trust God to listen to our needs. And we trust in His will. And that it be done. And of course, we talked about last week the importance of an eldership. And I've been encouraging you, and I will continue to do so, to pray. And I appreciate those of you who have been praying publicly and mentioning this. And I know many of you have privately. When we think about inseparable faith from prayer, I want to challenge you to pray that God's will be done and that we are blessed with an eldership in this congregation. Put that on your heart, your mind, and in your prayers. And let it be faith as a basis, believing that God can give that which is His will. And number two, I want to encourage you to pray that the congregation will continue to grow and prosper. And with that, to be one in mind. Because one of the things that happens in congregations when we go and we continue to work and work and work in faith to do what God wants us to do, to reach out with the gospel and to encourage one another, to build up each other in faith with edification and, of course, with knowledge of the scriptures, Satan's going to try to defeat us. And if he can divide us and separate us from being one in mind and move us away from the truth of the scripture, he'll be successful. Because, you see, he wants our faith isolated. He doesn't want to see this congregation growing and strong in faith. He doesn't want to see your life strong in faith. He wants you dead when it comes to deeds and works. And we're not talking about works of the law, of course. We're talking about what we do in God's will. That's His plan, but we don't want to let Him take hold. We want to resist Him so He flees from us. We don't want Him to destroy the work where God has given us the increase. And then number three, just as a very practical matter, I want to encourage you to begin right now praying for the success. The success of what? The success of our upcoming All Out Friends and Family Day. In your bulletin, in your handouts, most of you should have gotten one of these. If you don't have one of these sheets personally, then I encourage you to pick up one. And it's just a practical sheet, but it's also a sheet that will somewhat test your faith. Because what the sheet is doing is asking you to list names of friends and family. And it takes some thought because you have to sit down and think, okay, well, who can I put down here? And you might think, well, if I put so-and-so, they don't want to come. I know that. Well, I'll put some, no, they wouldn't want to come. No. Yeah, I'll put them. No, they wouldn't want to come. You see, it's going to take some work. But I want to challenge you to do this. Don't answer for folks. If you have friends and you have family, don't answer for them. Give them the opportunity to say no. So I want you to put those people down there. And there's space for 20, but there's a blank back. If you've got 60, go for it. But here's the plan. Create this list. And is there somewhat of a schedule put on here? It's just a suggested schedule because it fits in the time that we have left before May 5th. And what I would like for you to do is to create your contact list. Then you start praying daily for those folks on your list. And then we're going to have some flyers designed for this particular day. And we're going to encourage you to send those flyers out to those folks. So we're going to encourage you to let them know about the day by April 15th. And then by April 26th, phone or visit them. And there's a little note down at the bottom that you've probably read if you've got the sheet. Jesus sent disciples out two by two. It's good to get some brothers and sisters to go with you. Not only will give them a chance to meet somebody, but it'll also encourage you. And Randy even suggested that folks get together as a group. Just make it their evening effort. And I think they're going to do that on a Friday evening. But it's on purpose. Out of faith, taking the initiative to produce the deeds that will actually deliver an invite to people. And then finally, just before May 3rd and 4th, before the 5th, one more invite to those folks. And so I want to challenge you with that. That you put some effort. I know you're just looking forward to it. Many of you are excited about it. But let's give folks a chance to say no, that you know. Now, I was talking to Thad just briefly a little bit this morning. The list here has 20. Can you imagine, just take each one of us that's here this morning, and five folks came that we invited. Can you imagine we'd have to put chairs in the aisles? We can see it happen. And what's going to make the difference? Well, if you look at James chapter 1 and verse 6, when talking about wisdom, he says, let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. Faith is that which overcomes doubt. Faith is that which is not negative, but positive with God. Because it's real easy to say, oh, no, this won't work. Folks don't want to come. Folks are not interested in the church today. Folks don't want to hear the gospel. Is that what God wants from us? He wants us to walk in faith. Faith is inseparable. And faith is inseparable by prayer. And in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7, we walk by faith, not by sight. Now, he's not saying we walk blindly. We walk looking to Jesus. And I want to challenge you this morning to think about what that means and what it can mean in your life, looking to Jesus. Whether it be this little paper right here and what we do with that, or whether it be obeying the gospel of Christ. Because without faith, it's impossible to please Him. And faith is inseparable from our salvation. Why? Because he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. In fact, Jesus said it like this. Look at Mark 16:15. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. There's going to be no one in heaven who has not obeyed the gospel and lived without faith. Of course, the Old Testament, folks, that's another issue. But we're talking about today. The only way for us to find our place with God in eternity is because of our faith that moves us to be obedient to the gospel. And if we do not believe that He is the Christ, the Son of God, then we're in trouble, because it was Jesus who died for us, who gave us opportunity to be washed in His blood. And so this morning, we're going to stand, and Ron's going to lead us in an invitation song. And we're going to encourage you, if you need to obey the gospel, if you truly believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and you believe that God exists and He's a rewarder, then don't miss that reward. You want heaven. That's what goes with faith. Faith, hope, and love. It can be yours this morning, but it's your choice. As we stand and sing, if we can help you and assist you at all, then let it be known as we stand and sing.